I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tailgate.
It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy
of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around. Down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked. Saw it. Evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, Chicago. It is time to tailgate, getting you ready for the football weekend. 670 The Score. I'm Paul Pabst. Paul is here. Football is here. The football weekend is already going. I'm going to ask you to earmuff it if you taped the Illinois-Nebraska game last night, or like some people I know, maybe fell asleep before overtime. If you don't know the score, what a great night for the Fighting Illini football team at Nebraska. They win in overtime 31-24. Hopefully you saw it. We're going to talk more about that later. Coming up on the tailgate today, we will get you ready for Bears-Colts. NFL weekend, college football weekend, that's what we do here. Big show today. Coming up in a little bit, Patrick Finley, my boy from the Chicago from the Sun-Times. He covers the Bears, and in 20 minutes, an all-time Chicago Bear great. This is a thrill for me. Hall of Fame offensive tackle, 85 Super Bowl champion, Jim Covert. He'll join the tailgate in about a half an hour. We got to get some football in a second. A lot to get to today, but your host, a couple bonuses this week. Bringing the family into Chicago next week, fall, late September, Chicago. We're going Cubs game on Friday. We're going Bears game on Sunday. My kids have never been to a Cubs or Bears game. What a big weekend for them. They're on full scholarship next weekend. Can't wait to get to Chicago, get some food in me, get some other things, if you know what I mean. Do some tailgating at the Bears game. It's been a while. Another great thing this week for your boy. Got to sit in, co-host, guest co-host, whatever you want to call it, with Spiegel & Company in the afternoon. I think that was on Thursday. Man, what a blast. Those guys are fun. That was not work. That was nothing but fun. Great crew there. It was a blast to sit in with those guys. But let's get to the game. All right, Chicago Bears, Sunday, noon central at the Indianapolis Colts. The Bears are 1-1. The Colts are 0-2. Oddly, the Colts are favored, but you get like 3 points for being at home, so it's really the Bears are probably considered the better team. Their young quarterback, Anthony Richardson, he's a silly athlete. He makes a lot of highlights. He also makes a lot of lowlights. I'm not sure if he's an NFL passer yet. He's definitely not C.J. Stroud. On paper, this looks winnable for the Bears. Much more on that game coming up. Bears game, they'll get you all set up before and after, before Chicago takes on Indy. Tune in tomorrow morning, 9 to noon, for the Your Local Ford Dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. I got to get some Aurelio's next weekend. Join Mully, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and they get you set for the game immediately after the game. Cubs postgame show at approximately 4:30. Mully, Olin, Manley will have instant reaction with the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse, Chicago. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. We're going to get to the Colts game. We're going to talk more about the Colts game and the month ahead for the Bears, which is really interesting. But I want to do a few minutes here on last week's game, last week's loss to the Texans. Yeah, I know you're done with the Texans loss, but I need a minute here. You've heard it all, but I want to say a month ago, if I said in August, it's mid-September, the Bears will be 1-1, and that loss will be a close loss to Houston at Houston. They'd have the ball with a minute and a half left with a chance to win it. I think you'd been okay with that. You know, Houston came into that game loaded. Great offense, great pass rushers, wide receivers. They have everything. They're a playoff team. I mean, some people picked them to be in the Super Bowl. It was too early in the season for that type of game for this Chicago Bears team. I said that last week. This is the kind of test you'd love in week 9. National TV against a set team. Call me contrarian, though. I think there was more to like than dislike in that game. I'll get to the offensive line in a second. I thought the defense was really great. They held Stroud to one touchdown. A really good pass rush, which was a big concern in August. Big sacks in the second half. Sometimes when C.J. Stroud rolled right, he got off some good downfield passes. But I thought the Bears' D more than handled the job. They got the offense the ball back with a minute and a half to go and a chance to win it. They were fantastic. And the defensive line, second week in a row, overachieving. Now to the offense. Let me get my breath here. The first half against Houston was noticeably better than the week one against Tennessee. More short passes, more plays called where Caleb Williams got the ball out quickly. You go into halftime down 16-10. It could have been 13-10. And bonus, you scored an offensive touchdown. It was refreshing. Halftime felt really good. The second half happened, and it was not good. The Bears' offensive line was falling apart on national TV. There was false starts. There was missed blocks. There was false starts. There was missed blocks. And more of the same. Caleb got roughed up in the second half. I mean, he got beat up. He threw some passes, I think, out of desperation just to get the ball downfield. Like, those two interceptions were like frustration throws. Just trying to get it out, get it downfield, get something to happen. He forced a few deep balls. It was like a jailbreak, though. The Texans' defensive line was living in the Bears' field. Not literally, but kind of living in the Bears' backfield. There were no play calls, no moves that Caleb Williams could do to overcome the discrepancy in talent with the Texans' defensive line and the Bears' offensive line. That said, the Bears had the ball again, a minute 37 to go, an opportunity to drive it down and steal that game. And the drive really went nowhere. What are you going to do? What I heard most on social media from Bears fans this week and from hosts on The Score, from reading the Sun-Times, the Bears must address their offensive line issues. The Bears must fix their offensive line issues. My question is how? Is it scheme? Is it coaching? Or is it the fact that maybe that offensive line just isn't that talented? You could look at it and say that. There's a couple good players on that offensive line, but I don't know about the rest of it. You watch them versus Houston, it felt like a different level of football player. And to me, that's the concern for the rest of the season. How do you get high-level performance from a group that may not have that in them? I mean, it's like asking me to dunk a basketball. It's not going to happen, no matter how much you yell or coach. Hopefully, the Bears can put it together this week against Indianapolis, a lot better team. DeForest Buckner, the star defensive lineman for Indianapolis, he's out this week. The one solution I see for Ryan Poles and the Bears with his offensive line issue, and I don't know, I mean, clearly they consider everything. Most teams don't part with good offensive linemen. It rarely happens. I think Laramie Tunsil a few years ago got traded, and he's an all-pro. Maybe the Bears find a team that's already out of the playoffs in 2 or 3 weeks, that their season is going south, and you trade that extra second-round draft pick you have next year for an above-average offensive lineman. It's maybe in a contract year, because the Bears have draft capital coming up in this draft. That may be a situation where, you know, Montez Sweat, that trade last year, kind of came out of nowhere. Maybe Ryan Poles pulls something off before the trade deadline on that. All right, I will say this. The bright side for the Bears, and I think there's a big bright side, the Bears aren't facing the Texans' defensive line going forward. The next 4 weeks for the Bears are Indianapolis, Los Angeles Rams, Carolina Panthers, and Jacksonville Jaguars. Indy, very beatable. The Rams, they've got injuries at the wide receiver and offensive line positions. The Panthers, I mean, that should be a breeze win. I'm not trying to jinx it, knock on wood. And the Jaguars, who people think are good, they've lost 7 in a row. They're really going the wrong direction. This is very manageable and winnable. Imagine the Bears win 4 out of the next 4. I know, that's best case scenario. You would be going into the bye week 5-1 with a week off, and then I think it's Arizona, New England. Arizona's better than we thought. New England's worse than we thought. So a lot of hope there, a lot of good things to go for Sunday's game. Looking forward to it. Let's do a little bit on the NFL last weekend. You know, week 2 was just as wonky as week 1. A few things that stuck out. Let's start with the Steelers, the Saints, the Buccaneers. The Seahawks are all 2-0. That's very weird. It's cool. It's surprising. I don't know if it's sustainable. I look at the first 2 weeks of the NFL season as kind of this anomaly that could change in a heartbeat. You know, I'm not ruling out Baltimore and Cincinnati because they're 0-2, but Baltimore, I think, has Dallas this weekend. It could be 0-3. Teams that have problems that would really concern me, teams that have injuries. The Rams are missing their wide receivers, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. That's serious. 49ers missing Christian McCaffrey, and Deebo Samuel's now hurt. The Chiefs running back, Isaiah Pacheco, he's fantastic. He's out for a stretch with a broken bone in his leg. He is so underrated. He runs like he's mad at someone. He just fights for yards at all time. He makes like $900,000 a year to be a top-end running back in the NFL. That is an absolute bargain. I know Mahomes is everything, but that's a tough hit for KC. All right, a couple of notes on the NFC North. Malik Willis, the quarterback, back from the NFL dead to help the Packers win versus the Colts. That was a big one. Green Bay is running the ball really well to start the season. No word on Jordan Love yet. He went back to practice. I haven't heard the phrase game time decision, but it, as they like to say, it's trending upward that he may play. The Lions lose one they should have won versus the Buccaneers. And a couple picks by Jared Goff, but I think the Lions had that game. I have no concern about the Lions. They look fine. They should be fine going forward. And the Vikings, who I besmirched 3 weeks ago on this show, took down San Francisco. The Vikings are a team nobody had doing anything. Sam Darnold, nobody had him doing anything. They're 2-0. Damn. All right, coming up this NFL weekend, let's hit just a couple of the games before we get to our first guest. Packers at Titans. Big one for the Packers if Malik Willis starts against his old team. Texans at the Vikings. Really big for the Vikings. Again, if they go back-to-back weeks beating a Super Bowl contender, that would be something, and that would get people's attention. Lions at the Cardinals. That's saucy. Ravens at the Cowboys. That is a big one for Lamar Jackson. 0-3 teams don't win Super Bowls. I think there's one. Eagles at the Saints. Eagles had an interesting week. Saquon Barkley with that drop, or else they win the game. Tough week for the Eagles. They lose this one to a surprising Saints team. It gets really hot for Nick Sirianni. Chargers at the Steelers. Man, I can't believe it. Fields again. He's going to get the start. Chargers look good. Their quarterback's injured. Keep an eye on that one. Chiefs at the Falcons Sunday night game. That's really awesome. All right, let's get to it. Let's get to the Bears. Really dramatic week. Let's get to our first guest. He covers the Bears very well for the Chicago Times. And like your host, does a bit of teaching at the side on DePaul University. Let's bring in Patrick Finley, the Chicago Sun-Times. Patrick, let's get right to it. If I said a month ago that in mid-September the Bears would be 1-1, coming off a close loss to a great Houston Texans team, that would have been okay. I think you'd agree that it's been okay. But why does it feel so dour? I mean, does the mood in the Bears locker room match the mood in the outside world?
Match the outside world, I'd be concerned about that. Yeah. Matty Eberflus came out and said, listen, we're not changing any of the starters. That was a pretty obvious statement. If you look at the Bears bench right now, they have Matt Pryor as a backup guard. He's got experience, but literally the other three guys have a combined one NFL game to their to their credit. So, you know, they weren't going to go ahead and make a switch. And, you know, when Ryan Bates went to IR a week ago and then Larry Borum went to IR at the start of the season, that took away, you know, maybe the two most reliable backups that they have. So the solution here is just, let's try to get better at it. And some of it is execution. Some of it is play calling from Shane Waldron. Some of it is just not putting in Caleb in a position where it's second and nine and third and 13 all the time. I mean, my God, in the first game, they had third and 29 twice. Like, that's just not a healthy offense. So it is the ability to pass block that's been hurting them, but it's also the situations that they're putting themselves in.
You know, on Sunday against the Texans, it felt in the first half there was a lot of short passing going on, and it felt great. And in that third quarter, it felt like it just collapsed. When the most common phrase used in Chicago this week is, they got to fix the offensive line. Now, you're not going to sign anybody off the street. You're not going to – we're going to get to trades in a second. But what did Shane Waldron say or not say that really stuck out to you this week?
I asked what he wanted to see in Caleb in week three that he didn't see in week two. And he said, no negative plays. And that is, you know, that's, you know, taking sacks. And not all of these sacks are on the offensive line, remember. I mean, one of them is Caleb Williams running out of bounds at the sticks. That's technically a sack. One of them is a screen where they just didn't communicate well, you know. And then when you look at negative plays, you're also talking about these rushes that just, you know, not only do they go nowhere, but they go backwards. You know, I think DeAndre Swift has broken a grand total of zero tackles this year. Of course, he hurdled the dude in week one, and I would argue to you that that should be worth like four broken tackles. But, you know, they need to just not go backwards. And, you know, and if they're putting Caleb in third and six, that is manageable because Caleb's, you know, his abilities, even now without a whole lot of NFL experience, is, boy, he can go get you 7 yards. You know, it's when you're asking him to go get you 13 and he's got to drop back and take that sort of time. That's when the Bears are getting into trouble.
One of the things rookie quarterbacks have to get used to, and, you know, Caleb's been in front of the media for a while now at Oklahoma, USC. We all see how he handles on the field. You guys in the press room, how would you grade him handling you guys in the media just 2 weeks in?
Really well. He is very self-aware. He will tell you the things that he needs to get better at. He will acknowledge the premise of a question that is negative. You know, there have been quarterbacks here where if you try to ask them about something that they don't want to answer, they'll just say, I don't agree with the premise.
He doesn't seem combative in any way.
No. He also understands what his job is. I mean, this is a guy who's been taking media training since, I believe, before he could drive. or if not right afterwards. He was literally doing it. He was doing it in high school. So
I want to stop you there for 1 second. I have not heard this story. Media training in high school.
Yes. Or PR training. Yep. Wow. Absolutely. Yeah, that was part of his development as a kid. And because of that, not only does he know what the exchange is supposed to be, but he knows how to communicate what he wants to say. And that is a skill, and that is a skill that comes with practice. And, you know, the other thing, too, is, you know, at USC, you know, he did his media obligations, you know, such as they were. But boy, he wasn't asked to do nearly what he's been asked to do at the NFL level, just because of league rules, and also because, you know, he is the centerpiece of, you know, the marketing around this franchise right now. Right. So he's handled it really well. You know, Justin Fields was not always the best podium guy, just in terms of body language, in terms of, you know, there are times he just kind of didn't want to be there.
Right.
But you never got the impression that he wanted to, that he was being combative. Caleb is not only not combative, but he's, you know, at least through 2 weeks, a pretty willing participant in the whole exchange.
Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times covers the Bears really well. Joining us as Score, on Paul Pabst. This is 670 The Score. This is The Tailgate. All right, I've got an idea. And again, I love throwing ideas to people like you, and then you pass them up the food chain because you have access to these people. Here's my idea to Ryan Poles, and I know you're not going to actually bring this to him, but what about this thought? They went after Montez Sweat last year, and that was a bit of a surprise. The Bears have extra draft capital in the upcoming draft due to the Carolina Panthers trade. If in 3 or 4 weeks there's a team that's out of it, maybe suddenly out of it, like the Ravens or whatever team that might not have been, you know, is not going to be playoff eligible, could you see trading some draft capital for a serviceable or above average offensive lineman this year?
Yes, although, you know, you said it, you have to find a team, you know, essentially before Halloween. Right. That has given up entirely on what they're doing, because otherwise, you know, teams don't trade good offensive linemen.
Right.
You know, they don't trade bad offensive linemen. Yeah. Really,
the only
either.
One I can think of is Laremy Tunsil, and that was a real special circumstance.
Yes, exactly. And they, you know, and it's not just because, you don't say, well, we're probably going to lose a lot of games and trade this lineman. The reason you need them is to protect, you know, most teams' greatest investment is their quarterback. And unless you're trotting a fourth string quarterback out there, you're probably going to need somebody in front of him to make sure that, you know, he makes it through the season and is healthy next year when you hope to compete again. So that makes it a little more complicated than I think trading for a defensive end or a corner or anything like that. Your premise, I'm good with. I think that this team has talked openly about being ready to win now. I think that it is an important step in this franchise's development to finish the season with a winning record, to play playoff relevant games in December. And yep. I think, you know, if you could give up, maybe I wouldn't trade the Panthers' second round pick, because you saw what happened when the Bears.
That's a first basically now.
Yeah. Well, and the Bears did that when they traded for Chase Claypool with the Steelers. And, you know, even by the end of that season, yeah, I'm sorry, I should have put a trigger warning there, but you know, that turned out to be Joey Porter Jr. I believe. So you got to be careful there, but you know, if the Bears can sit there and go, well, we're going to pick 20th in the second round, maybe we could trade that chip in now for somebody who can help us on the offensive line. I think they have to look at it, and they'd especially have to look at it if their health gets any worse here. I mean, that's the scary thing right now is, you know, you've got Matt Pryor as a reliable backup and nobody else. You know, what happens if you need Matt Pryor to start playing because of injury? Then it gets real bad.
Right. I don't think Olin Krutz has any other plays left in his career. I would consider signing him. He still seems ticked off sometimes. All right, let's get positive for a second. I look at games sometimes, even losses, and say, what's the best thing I could take from that? And I read your articles. I listened to the Score a lot in August. And the defensive line was a concern. Ryan Poles addressed it with a couple of trades. I could make the case, and I'm going to defer to you, that the defensive line is overachieved in games 1 and 2.
Here's the best news. Montez Sweat has probably been the worst defensive lineman they've had in terms of raw production. He doesn't have a sack yet. I think on and you know, three other people do. When you look at pass rush win percentage, which is the stat that ESPN has, I think the Bears have three defensive tackles who are in the top five among all defensive tackles in football. And then, you know, they have Daryl Taylor, who I believe is sixth among defensive ends. So if those guys are producing like that, boy, if you could get Montez Sweat going, he, you know, that could really be something special. Sweat talked the other day, you know, he's disrupting, you know, run plays. He's in there when his teammates are getting sacks, but he's just not getting his hands on the quarterback. He's gone 5 games now without a sack. That is tied for the longest drought of his career. So he is itching to get going now. And if he does, I think this unit, like you said, that we were really worried about during training camp, could turn out to be a strength, especially when you compare it to the offensive line that the Bears have on the other side of the ball.
All right, I'm going to get you out of here. I know you're at the facility. You don't have to rub it in that you're there and I'm not. I know you said it earlier. I look at the next four games as the most important four games of the Bears season. You're 1-1. I kind of expected you to be 1-1. There's a possibility. You look at the next four teams, a beatable Colts team, a beat-up Rams team, an embarrassing Panthers team, and an underwhelming Jaguars team. If you could somehow go 4-0, which is not, I don't think, the toughest ask, you're 5-1 going into a bye week. You could play 500 ball the rest of the way, or even just one game under 500 and probably sneak into the playoffs. Is that how you look at the next four games?
I think something like their next six games are games that, you know, that they could most certainly win. You know, Colts, Rams, Panthers, Jags, like you said. But then after the bye, you come back and you have the Commanders and the Cardinals and the Patriots. I mean, boy, you're at the halfway mark there. And you could legitimately, I mean, without really playing that well, you could be, you know, 6-3, something like that.
And it might be the defense. It still may be not a pretty offense, but the defense could slug their way to 5 out of 6 wins.
Yeah, absolutely. But now let's look at the second half of the season, shall we? Packers, Vikings, Lions at 49ers, Vikings, Lions, Seahawks, Packers to end the season. I mean, they could lose that. They could lose every single one of those games.
We're trying to stay positive here.
So I agree with you. I think when you look at the schedule, the next 2 months roughly are when they need to make hay, because by the second half of the season, they're going to face their biggest test. And the good news is, if you're the Bears, and I'm sure they were thrilled when the schedule came out, is that Caleb Williams in week 10 and week 11 is going to be a much different player, you hope, than he is in weeks 1-8. And if so, then your team is going to be a lot better. Now, I think what is so concerning about the offensive line is that, you know, to make sure that Caleb improves in the next 2 months, Caleb's got to be on, you know, got to be on the field, and he's got to be not hurt, and he has to be in a realistic situation to improve. And when you're letting him get hit as much as he got hit the other night, boy, it doesn't look like you can withstand that for the next 2 months.
All right, last two things before we get you out of here. Patrick Finley, Chicago Sun-Times. You and I both teach at DePaul. Love that they hired a new basketball coach. I love where they're going. Do you and I get courtside seats because we work at DePaul for the games coming up? What's the status there?
I believe there is a 20% discount on season tickets. I have not taken advantage of it.
Okay.
But I believe that is there. Truth be told, I live in Evanston, and I live walking distance from the Northwestern Arena. So we go to a lot of Northwestern games. Don't tell our bosses at DePaul.
Nobody's listening. Like that. It's just us talking. Nobody's listening. All right, last thing, bonus coverage. I'm coming back in town, bringing my wife and kids to their first ever Chicago Bears games, Rams at Bears next week. Any tips for tailgating? I know you don't tailgate that much because you're working. Tailgating tips, where to go, where to eat in the building. If you see me, will you act like you know me, make my kids think I'm cool? What are we doing here?
And I'll happily do that. My tip to you would be to get there earlier than you think you need to.
Okay.
And that everything, and you know this, but it's like when you're in Vegas, you look and you see something and you go, oh, that's a pretty short walk. Let's start walking. And then 20 minutes pass and you're not that much closer. It feels like that when you were down on the lakefront. So give yourself plenty of time. And if you're bringing kids, bribe the heck out of them to keep walking without whining, because Lord knows mine has a hard time with that.
These are veteran tips. I really appreciate it. Hey, you're doing a great job covering the team. Let's get some wins. Let's have some fun. Keep up the good work.
Thanks so much.
Sun Times joining us on The Score. That was a lot of fun. Can't wait to get back to town next weekend. I hope you guys can get me some good weather. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to start fasting now so I can really eat next weekend. Probably put on 6 or 7 pounds. Cubs game Friday, Bears game Sunday. Ready to level up your NFL gear, Chicago fans? Homage has the softest throwback apparel for Bears fans and all fans, even if you're not a Bears fan. Rep your favorite team. These are the most comfy stuff ever. Chicago Bears are the number one NFL team in Homage sales so far this season. That's fantastic. Head to homage.com, HOMAGE.com. Use Tailgate, that's this show, Tailgate for 15% off your first order. Some exclusions apply. That's HOMAGE.com. Pay homage. A lot of NFL talk there. I need a nice college football cleanser coming up. Illini, we're going to talk about that. That's coming up. And a personal treat for me, one of the all-time Chicago Bear greats, the Hall of Fame offensive tackle, Jim Covert, joins the tailgate. Talk about the good and bad of offensive line play. That's next. This is the Tailgate, 670 The Score.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
I love football. Love it. Love it. Love it. Welcome back to The Tailgate. I'm Paul Pabst. This is 670 The Score. Jim Covert will join us in 2 minutes. Very excited about that. College football last weekend. Before we get to this weekend slate, Georgia really got tested by Kentucky. It would have been fantastic if Kentucky would have pulled that off, give the season a little less predictability. Texas rolls. They lost their quarterback, Quinn Ewers, maybe just for a short period of time with a stomach injury. Arch Manning is in for Quinn Ewers. Last week, he was awesome. He's back in this week against, I think, UL Monroe. Bama rolls Wisconsin. No problem there. Wisconsin no showed on that one. LSU escapes South Carolina. Another one. South Carolina had them. And Notre Dame opened up a can on Purdue, as we called. But last night, if you didn't see it, Illinois went into Nebraska. Nebraska is kind of a back-ish. The fan base is fired up. They had a good start. They're undefeated. I know it's early. Illinois goes in undefeated. I'm telling you, I work in national sports radio. Nobody on national sports radio talks about Illinois football. They're never covered. They're rarely covered. They have to fight for relevancy. They got it last night. National TV, 31-24 in overtime at Nebraska. Illinois 4-0. That game was on national TV. There was one other game, I think, Stanford-Syracuse. This game got a lot of eyeballs, Midwest, West Coast. And Illinois, by the way, they looked fantastic in those uniforms. Whoever's call it was to go back to the Illini, Illinois on the helmet, give that person a raise. You look good. You play good. You play well. I'm not big on math. I'm not big on grammar. None of that stuff. The Illinois Fighting Illini looked fantastic. They've got Michigan in a few weeks, and that's another one where they could really step up, make a name for themselves. Today's games, college football, early, USC at Michigan. Michigan's got to get it together. Northern Illinois back in action at Buffalo. Tennessee versus Oklahoma, a big afternoon one. Checking on the Big Ten, Indiana's 3-0. Again, Illinois is 4-0. Northwestern's got an all-purpose, all-purple matchup against Washington this week, so that's a lot of fun. All right, let's get to it. Joining us now on the tailgate, he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer, a College Football Hall of Famer, a Super Bowl champion in 1985, former Bears offensive tackle Jimbo Covert. Before we get rolling on the Bears, Jim, on the offensive line, you went to the University of Pittsburgh, Pitt. I can make the case right now that Pitt has the best uniforms in college football. They look awesome. Are you with me?
I agree. Always did. I'm so glad they went back to the script and on the helmet and the royal blue and gold. They look so good on television. They really do. And hey, they're 3-0, I think, right? So yeah. We're hoping we can get past this game this week and get out of non-conference undefeated. So we'll see. The guys are playing good quarterbacks. So it's good.
They look great while they're doing it. Let's get to the business. Yeah. I'm going to go back for a little bit. You're a high-end offensive lineman. You know the sport. When you're watching the Bears, the offensive line versus the Texans pass rush last weekend, Sunday Night Football, what do you see that I may not see?
Well, I think you're probably seeing the same thing I'm seeing. I mean, you know, the expectation that people have with Caleb Williams coming in, who's an incredible player and incredible athlete, he's still a rookie quarterback. And so, you know, they're going to throw everything in the kitchen sink and they're going to continue to blitz and blitz until, you know, he stops it. And how he stops it is, you know, he beats the blitz, right? He beats the blitz for a long play, for a touchdown, for, you know, four or five, you know, third and eight, third and 10, third and 12 first downs, converts them, and then you'll stop. You know, that's how it works. So it's very difficult, you know, when you get all those guys coming in, and sometimes you got five guys and you don't have enough guys to block them, right? But other times, you know, they ran some games and they did some other things, but, you know, I just feel like, you know, in order for an offensive line to work really well together, they got to get a lot of work. And I just don't feel like you get that much work in the preseason. And right. I think it, you know, you can see where a lot of defenses are really ahead of offenses early in the year, and I think it's because of that.
Yeah, when you played four preseason games, and you probably played maybe a half of each of them, maybe the last one a quarter, but that's like 60 or 70 or 80 reps. These guys are getting 20, 30 reps the entire preseason.
No, you're right. I mean, I played probably the first quarter of the first one, second quarter of the second, or two quarters of the second, three quarters of the third, and all four quarters of the fourth game. And, you know, the goal was to win that fourth game because you never want to go into a season, you know, on a downer. You want to go on a upbeat tone. They don't do that anymore. So, you know, I understand it. I do. I understand. You know, how could you – can you imagine getting your first round, you know, pick, right, quarterback hurt in preseason? I get it. But I think for offensive linemen, you know, especially, they really need the work. And I think the more reps you can get in preseason live, you know, even though preseason speed is not the same as regular season speed, you're getting some reps.
One other thing, when we see at home false starts, repeated false starts and different misses, especially with, you know, jumping off sides, things like that, is that anxiety? Is that trying to get off early because you're getting beat, combination of the two?
I just think it's going off sides is kind of a, you know, mental error, right? I mean, you can't do that. I mean, and so, you know, sometimes, you know, we would go up back and forth, you know, from the huddle to, you know, to this line of scrimmage, and we'd be asking each other what snap count was, and you just heard it in the huddle, you know?
But at least you asked each other.
Yeah, we'd ask each other, and, you know, we had, you know, if it was on three, we'd say C. If it was on, you know, or age, deuce, trace, you know, we would say all kinds of crazy stuff, just code, just to keep us honest, you know. But you do, you're concentrating on so many things that you know, you forget the snap count by the time you get to the line of scrimmage. So I just think it's a little nervousness maybe. But, you know, once you get rolling there, I mean, you got to pay attention. Especially at home like that. I mean, a crowd shouldn't bother you. You know, away when you're in a dome and it's really loud and you can't hear, that's a different story. And you got to watch the ball and watch the guy and watch the ball, and that's difficult. But for the most part, you should be able to, you know, stay on sides.
I've always wondered this when I'm at home watching games, when you were playing, and what's the etiquette for offensive linemen? If you get called for holding, jumping off sides, you give up a sack, do you say sorry to the quarterback, or do you just shut your mouth because sorry is implied?
Well, I think, you know, going off sides and maybe getting a holding penalty when you convert third down and now it's third down again is, I think, something you might want to say you're sorry for. Okay. You know, when you give up a sack, you might want to say that. But for the most part, any other thing I think is fair game because everybody makes mistakes. You know, you got to keep mistakes to a minimal. You just have to keep them to a minimum. If you can keep them to a minimum, then that's how you win a football game.
All right. You've seen Caleb Williams play two games. Unlike most of the media people and a lot of the fans, I don't think we're going to overreact to two games. But what do you see that you really like and maybe something they're like, that's an issue, maybe a light issue?
What I really like is the way he throws on the run. I mean, he has tremendous athleticism. He has a great arm. You know, he has some good receivers to throw to. You know, I see that. I think that's incredible. I think, you know, the pressure he's going to see, like I said, he's going to see it until he stops it, right? He's going to see it until the offensive line gives him enough time where he can make something happen and beat the blitz and stop it. So, you know, pressure's pressure. And like I said, you know, I don't know how many times they brought a blitz the other day, the Texans, but they brought it a lot, right? And so you're going to see that for a while. And I think, you know, once he gets used to seeing that, you know, hopefully he can stay upright and, you know, not get hurt. That's the tough thing. But, you know, other than that, I think I've seen some really good things. So I've been pleased so far. I just want him to, you know, stay healthy.
Former Bears All-Pro, Pro Bowl, Hall of Fame offensive tackle Jim Covert joining us. I'm Paul Papps. This is 670 The Score, The Tailgate. Before we let you out of here, I'm going to give you three questions, our three and out, and give me whatever comes off the top of your head. During your career, who pops in your head the most difficult defender you had to deal with?
The best guy I ever played against was Leroy Salmon. Played in Tampa Bay, Hall of Famer, yep. Great player, played in the 3-4, and you know, just a certified badass. He was a great player. But of course I played against, you know, Richard Dent, Steve McMichael and Dan Hampton every day in practice. So, you know, a lot of times the games are easy when you're playing against three Hall of Famers in practice.
Did any of those guys, I've seen, you know, the documentaries about the 85 Bears. It seemed like that the practice was obviously clearly different than these days practice, but it got seriously competitive, not just training. It was competitive.
Yeah, it was very competitive. Well, that's what made us each better. I think Richard really helped me for our pass blocking, even though I thought I was a great pass blocker because we threw it a lot in Pittsburgh with Dan Marino. But, you know, he had a great first step, probably one of the best first steps ever, and that really helped me. And I think I helped him against the run because, you know, I was a pretty good run blocker, and I think we helped each other and made each other better.
All right, two more questions. How often during your playing days did some dopey 6 foot, 180-pound guy like me walk up and say, "Hey, Jim Covert, I'd love to pass rush against you. Would you hit me?" That happens sometimes, right?
No, not really. I don't think I've ever had that happen. They might say it in jest, but no one's ever really wanted to do that.
I got to tell you, Jim, if I ran into you, I did see you once at a restaurant. My dopey buddies wanted to talk to you. I would have been honored if you would have de-cleated me in the parking lot. Absolutely honored. I don't know. I'm just saying, if we run into each other, feel free to just, you know, turn my lights out. All right. Last thing before we go, I know you got nowhere to go on that one. Walter Payton is my favorite football player of all time. Give me your Walter Payton story that I may not have heard before, either on or off the field.
Well, I just think he was such a great player and such a tough guy. And people don't realize how tough he was. You know, he had that nickname Sweetness, and people don't realize just how incredibly tough he was. But I was blocking one time, and, you know, the whole pile came down on top of him, and he needed to get out of there, and he got caught up in it, and the whole pile went down on his ankle. And I heard him wince, and I helped him up, and we got off the field, and, you know, they taped it up, and he didn't miss a snap. And that just tells you how tough that guy was. I know because the whole doggone pile went down on top of his ankle, and he didn't miss a snap. So that just tells you how tough he was.
Were you ever on the goal line? I know you were, and blocking on one of those over-the-top runs, and you looked up and you saw him?
I never was ever trying to look up. The only time I ever looked up was when William Perry was coming over the top, so I didn't get hit. And I was down as low as I possibly could, but with Walter, I never looked up.
That's smart business. That's taking care of business right there. Jim Covert, thanks a lot for joining the tailgate. It was an honor.
You got it. You got it. Enjoy being with you.
That was a thrill having Jim Covert on. I mean, I'm nerding out on this a little bit, but I can't believe I ran it. So I'm in high school, Marion Catholic High School, south side of Chicago. We were somewhere on the west suburbs, and we saw Jim Covert coming out of a restaurant, or actually he's at the restaurant. And me and my dopey high school buddies were like, "Wait, it's Jim Covert." And this is, you know, this is prime Jim Covert. I mean, he was the man. And we're like, "We got to go up to him." But he was eating dinner. We were like waiting for him to go to the bathroom. Like, "You do it." No, you do it. I'm like, "I'm not going to go up to Jim Covert. He's a pretty intimidating guy." But are you kidding? No Bears fan ever went up to Jim Covert in the 80s and said, "Hey, Jim, why don't you just give me a forearm shiver to the chest?" That would be like better than an autograph or a picture. That would have been an absolute thrill for me. All right. You know, after a forearm shiver to the chest, you got to get comfy. Go to homage.com, HOMAGE. Use the code TAILGATE for 15% off your first order. Homage is the best for the gear, football watching gear, HOMAGE. Pay homage. Homage.com, tailgate for 15% off. That was fun. Coming up, the pub and grub of the week, our Bears game prediction, Bears Colts, and we check on your morale. All that's next. This is the tailgate, 670 The Score.
We're back with more of the tailgate with Paul Pabst.
Hey, this place is really something else, huh? Hey, someday I'm going to come out of that tunnel and I'm going to run onto this field.
Well, it ain't going to be this day.
I'm here to play football for the Irish.
Coach Parsi didn't know about it.
Here come the Irish.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on the tailgate, wrapping up here on The Score, getting you ready for the football weekend. Man, we need another hour on this show, don't we? Coming up after this, early odds inside the clubhouse. Cubs still going. As we do every week, you know, your host is coming into town, bringing the family to Chicago. We got the Cubs game on Friday. Going to be a lovely day, I hope. Got bleacher seats. Family's never been to a Cubs game. Going to their first Bears game on Sunday. Got, I think, 400 level seats. I think they're pretty high up, but every seat's a good seat in Soldier Field. Can't wait for that. But one of the things we do on this show,
We get you ready for where to watch Bears games, where to watch college football. So the pub and grub of the week, this week we're going to 6100 North Paulina, Edgewater neighborhood, Barrelman Tavern. A couple people told me there's a great spot. They have whiskey. Barrelman Tavern, 6001 North Paulina. Nice TV setup. They got Sunday ticket. Bring your own food. It's dog friendly. That sounds fantastic. All right. A lot to get to before we wrap it up. Last week, our football prediction, we said right here, the Saints over the Cowboys. That was fun to watch. This week, even though Justin Herbert's banged up, I like the Chargers to run all over Pittsburgh and go to 3-0. Jim Harbaugh, he's off and running. They run first, pass second. Really interesting team. It's almost like that Cowboys team from 30 years ago. Been a long time since the Cowboys did that kind of stuff. My Bears prediction for this week. So last week, I'll admit, I had Houston over the Bears 20-16. So I was pretty close. You know, that's one of those games, again, it was a little too early for primetime TV for the Bears. That's a game that would have been great in Week 10. This Sunday, a beatable Colts team is exactly what the Bears need to get on track. The offensive line would be better. They have to. Not so much because they are better, but they don't have to face DeForest Buckner this week for Indy. He's out, which is a godsend to Chicago. I'm going Bears 27-23 over the Colts. I think the Bears defense is going to light up Anthony Richardson. I'm calling for at least two interceptions. This guy is a fantastic athlete. He puts up highlights. He also puts the ball all over the field to different people. He's a sharer. He gives it up quite often to different teams. All right, let's go over morale because we do a thing every week. We're going to talk about Chicago Bear fan morale, football fan morale. Last week I had morale, the morale meter at 8.5. I think it took a big dip. You know, the game the Bears had, ball 90 seconds to go with a chance to beat Houston, that would have been fantastic. It didn't work out. But the state of the offensive line is really bumming people out. It's like, again, you find out your house has mold. This is a serious issue. Caleb took a beating. I think we're kind of turning the corner. It's only one loss, but I'm setting the morale meter right now down to 7.3. It was a huge drop. You know, when you have offensive line issues, that's not like, you know, our punt returner's out or our long snapper needs some help. Hopefully Sunday fixes things. All right, here we go. It's time to shake off this Texans loss. I want you to wipe it from your mind. Just do a nice mind wipe. The Bears have a huge opportunity the next 4 weeks. Colts, Rams, Panthers, Jaguars, four winnable games. It's very possible to go 4-0. It's okay if that's all based off your defense dominating and some decent growing offensive play. That's fine. Whatever gets it done. You win the next four, you're sitting at 5-1 going into a bye week. That puts you in position to snag a playoff spot. The second half of the season is brutal. I mean, it's really brutal. But the next 4 weeks will decide a lot. It's time for me to bounce, you know, watch some college football, get ready for Bears, Rams coming into town. I can't wait to get back to Chicago. Late fall, early fall, late September, Cubs, Bears, twofer, hang with the family. I cannot wait to get back to town. Let's have some fun. Let's watch some football. Let's enjoy it. This is The Tailgate. I'm Paul Pabst, 670 The Score.
I'm John Aran, Pucks sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.